Now, contemplate with me the nature of hypnotic trance. Whenever you trance, you're really going down and creating a safe space in which changes can take place. Sometimes these changes are allowed to seep over into our everyday interactions. Sometimes they're desirable. Sometimes they trill sensually with that part of you which is fetishistic and elevate it, making it something else, something exalted, something more enjoyable. And these kind of improvements are acceptable to accept into our everyday interactions, at least inside of our heads. And then there are things that we must necessarily keep to some subset of all the places we will go. Things are only appropriate in the bedroom, in the privacy of home, in the confines of our own heads. And so you create a duality, a split between the everyday life that you must lead and the few things or the many things which are acceptable to absorb into that everyday life, to adopt into the procedures out in the world. And then there are the perhaps more satisfying but arguably more drastically enjoyable things, which you might do in privacy, or with trusted partners, or in some limited subset of spaces where it's appropriate. And this can involve the way your body reacts, the way your mind acts upon your body, your desires, your urges. All of these bound together may be invoked to give you things that you will do in the everyday, or things that you will only do in privacy, in comfort, in a safe space inside your head. We inevitably train ourselves. Those of us with a yen and skill for submission, for allowing another to take the lead, at least temporarily, and within predefined limits, often find words for it, find ways to articulate the limits of our private, submissive space. And within that space, certain rules exist. One is more pliable and willing to be guided because that satisfies both parties. And such a subspace only erects itself when you're interacting with a person you know you can trust, that you wish to submit to and work with and indulge yourself in as they will in you. And with that knowledge, please allow your mind to focus on all the titillating possibilities which arise, on the particularities of desire, of orgasmic pleasure, of the creeping knowledge that you will give in, and that it is merely the method that is interesting, the trappings around your final experience of not only release, but of allowing yourself to pass into another's hands, as opposed to all those other times when you merely feel sexual but are not in the active process of submitting, and are instead in the more self-directed process of satisfying your aches, exploring your urges, and getting to know yourself better. Both of these situations are desirable and necessary. But there can be a friction, and that friction is undesirable. It can be created out of wondering where the boundaries are. When one begins the process of submission, and what should happen in one situation, the self-directed everyday fetishism and ordinary sensual desire of a person, versus the suborned bottom or submissive role, which is oh so titillating, but benefits from clearly defined boundaries. Just like hypnotic trance, there is the everyday ongoing arousal and pleasure and fetishism tied up in the idea of going under, and perhaps of being tied up afterward. And then there are the specific triggers, the climactic rules, the restrictions on behavior, the oh-so-tempting loops of logic which say that pleasure transforms itself into obedience which opens one up for more pleasure. or any number of similar things. And so we have arousal, and then we have rules. We have the everyday self-directed pleasure, and we have the submissive bottom pleasure at the behest of another for your mutual enjoyment. And I mentioned arousal, that raw, somewhat shaky feeling which runs through the body and so often prompts deeper breathing, fluttering eyelids, autonomic responses not too far from trance, but followed up by a deliciously climactic feeling at some point. And there we get the difference between arousal and climax, between the everyday and the specific. There is an ongoing process of arousal, but when you're in a submissive situation, that arousal so often is ramped up by the satisfaction of a fantasy, of a situation predicted and anticipated and made more potent by the anticipation. And as submission takes seed in you, sits there waiting, it might provoke certain thoughts. Thoughts of arousal will give rise to the sensation itself, that quickening of breath, that thrusting ache of desire, those little twinges of need which manifest themselves in action, in willingness, in changes to the mind. And it might be beneficial if we, together, delineated certain spaces where it is more beneficial to simply give in to that lust, to allow it to intensify. Places where it's not only safe, but where it will lend you beneficial memories and satisfaction that you can look back on and shiveringly say, yes, that was right. That was the correct way to be, the right thing to think, the most potently powerful manifestation of my sensual desire. And if those thoughts pass through your head, I believe they will be welcome. And I believe you believe that too. So listen, relax, and look over the proposal I'm about to place in front of you. Allow yourself to sink a little deeper. Envision what your personal subspace is. Maybe you find the time to set out a zone of privacy, locking doors, ensuring you're alone. And then you simply explore submission through erotic content or interactions online or whatever venue most titillates your desires. But there may also be moments when you are in the presence of someone or interacting with someone, in the same sense that your listening to my voice is slow, sleepy relaxation and interaction. And at those times, you may also wish to invoke that little aura of slowly drifting, sleeping, arousing submission tied to the partner with whom you are working. So there can be private times where your submissive space comes out to play. And there can be times with others. Only your personal safety and comfort can define those spaces. But I would encourage, and I believe you would agree with me, some time every now and then when engaging in erotic fun, when getting off, or when merely aroused and fantasizing, to envision scenarios in which you would allow your switch to be flipped. Your mind to tell you, yes, now is the right time to let out all those well-trained responses, those trilling desires that hide waiting inside you and manifest themselves in alterations to your desire, to your arousal, even to the processes of your orgasm. Speaking of, envision that perfect, submissive orgasm. Inspect with your mind all the ways in which coming when you are acting under directions and guidance is different. Different in texture, different in sensation, to coming when you are self-directing your pleasure. Both are valuable. Both are wonderful reductions in care and worry, which, for a time at least, through spasmodic pleasure and the clenching and unclenching of muscles, send pleasure rioting up your spine into your head to explode in ecstatic stars of achy need, of desire, of that wonderful post-orgasmic sensitivity which hangs so prominently in our minds. Envision all of these things. Set them up and allow them to be points of navigation around which we will build the divide between the orgasms and pleasure and arousal and mindset you have when exploring your submissive ache, and the different orgasms and desires and sensations and thought processes you have when acting more independently. Both are good, pleasurable, eminently relaxing and soothing, while still keeping you on edge and titillated, depending on the circumstance, depending on the level of sheer arousal coursing through you. Both are desirable, but often, perhaps you have allowed a kind of murkiness to exist about when you are submitting and when you are acting more independently, when it is appropriate to allow another to dictate arousal. And when that arousal is going to be best understood as fantasized, experienced, and manipulated by you. Accordingly, letting yourself explore your desires in these different spaces, with these different aspects and understandings, will help you, will drive you onward, and will give you a better understanding of yourself and your arousal and your desires by dividing subspace from the ordinary thoughts and urges so inherent in your everyday experiences, and by attaching two different sets of conditioning. It is not that you should train your mind with me here to emphasize one kind of pleasure and exploration and allow the other to remain untouched. Instead, I simply propose that you condition yourself with regard to both types of pleasure, therefore helping to get you in the right mood at the right times and explore everything under beneficial, enjoyable conditioning that we will elaborate on here together. In your subspace, that special delineated space of time on one side of the mirror, which occurs when you are submitting, when you have found an opportunity to submit, which of course I predict you will seek out, but we will discuss that in more detail later. That subspace. When you are there, I invite you to take a very particular kind of trance logic with you. Desire and ache and pleasure are all tied together into a kind of endlessly looping need. Your submission brings you to arousal. Of course, after all, sexual gratification and arousal is one of the primary motivations for the kind of wonderful, drifting sensuality and bliss that is so easily explained as submission. And as you become more submissive and ready to submit, the arousal will only grow. And that growth in arousal will prompt more and more desire to submit, as if one were playing a game with themselves, trying to get as close as you could to the point of complete submission where you lose yourself and instead indulge in a kind of glorious, mind-filling need. And that is why we submit, why we learn the intricacies of pleasure, the inkling, aching needs and desires that are so good, so necessary, that will fuel ongoing pleasures, desires, needs. And so it cycles into itself. As you become more aroused, you become more vulnerable to a very particular kind of pleasurable need. And that vulnerability causes the seed of submission and need to grow inside of you, growing until eventually you're overcome, and you truly give in. And in that state of being overcome by need, it is entirely reasonable if you temporarily hand the reins of your orgasm over to another, if we consider that the aroused state, the submissive state, is about exploring the act of giving up control, then we can assume that giving up the ultimate kind of control, control over that climax we so often pursue, that we chase, that we yearn for, would enhance your experience. And if this is appealing and would seem like an enhancement, then I propose you should try it out. You should attempt to stymie that urge to come whenever it would arise in this state of arousal. And you should instead substitute an exploration of letting another fully control that kind of thing, that kind of final climax, to only occur when you've earned it in the eyes of your partner. Doesn't the situation as described sound like the ideal submissive state? To know that the only way you'll be able to push yourself over that final edge, achieve true climax, would be if you have so satiated your partner that you are able to simply receive the order. And wouldn't receiving the order be wonderful? To be told that now is the time when you can come, even though you've been stroking and stroking, finding some phantom block erected in your mind, preventing you from pushing past, preventing you from achieving what you sought, what you still seek, what you cannot quite reach. Oh, yes. That's what you want, what you need, what you ache for and will pursue, have pursued, shall pursue again and again, until you find it in a final glorious form that sends you spasming, twitching, aching, climaxing your way in delight at the knowledge of your partner's enjoyment of your pleasure, that together all these things create an ever more pleasurable experience for everyone involved, that you are creating an ever more pleasurable experience for everyone involved through your discipline, through your pleasure, through your exploration and delight and twitching climactic bliss. To truly hand that over to someone else, I propose you explore that. How to go about exploring it? Well, firstly, you can always spend a little time getting yourself in the right mindset before submission. I mentioned this before, The idea that you should set aside time every now and then, not frequently. Time to ponder when you feel submission has begun, who you are comfortable submitting to, and how much you'll enjoy it when you get there. And in so doing, you enhance your own experience, but you also build a greater understanding of your submission, of your desire, of your enjoyment. And through building these experiences, you train the little rules and conditions that I'm going to propose into your mind, into the core of you, in the best possible way. And as all of these intricate ideas are absorbed, it may build a tempting lure in you to draw you into the kind of submissive enjoyment of surrendering one's arousal and orgasm to a partner, notional or physical and present, to allow oneself to be guided into that feeling of blissed out submission. And if this feeling is desirable, if it lures you in, drawing you through sensation after sensation, then all the better. Because at the right time, in the right place, it is acceptable to bridge that divide, to switch sides from pondering one's own control of orgasmic pleasure to allowing another person's interpretation and desire and orders to take over. Therefore, there are two states between which you can shift and flip and be drawn and lured and taught and trained toward, or lured away from as circumstances demand. There is the ordinary, the everyday, where arousal and pleasure are normal. The only way you can appreciate an increased arousal will be if you have that everyday understanding of your sensuality, of how it works, of what lures you in and what is effective. But as I present to you, and as your mind accepts certain thoughts, ideas, beneficial principles of submission and understanding, it's possible that you could be lured in by the pleasures offered thus, and not just because I will present them in a light which explains how holistically beneficial all this pleasure and orgasmic control can be, but also because if your mind wants to be lured in, if it is part of your primal core desires, the desires which lurk beneath the surface, waiting for an outlet to manifest themselves, if it is part of that set of desires that you be lured into a submissive state of mind, a particular submissive feeling, perhaps when you are least ready for it, but most in need of it, the relaxing, pacifying, titillatingly arousing sensation of being held off from your orgasm, of being deluged in desire and arousal, this is good for you. It both explores a fetishistic undertone that it is so rare to be able to wholly hold in your mind and body, to explore in a way that few others have. And the benefit of that knowledge about yourself, about your sexuality, about the beauty and wonder of submitting completely when it is safe and appropriate to do so, and otherwise being in control of your ordinary sensuality, giving you a basis for comparison, which increases your knowledge about yourself, and ultimately reduces stress and gives you wonderful memories to hearken back to during the rest of the day, when you're not submitting and feeling on edge, on tenterhooks with the sheer amount of arousal coursing through your body, making you breathe deeply, making you rigid and aching, wanton, your muscles tensing, your back arching, your body pushing up. Just envision it. and understand. Your subconscious wants you to feel that way, and I think your conscious mind does too. But it is the powerful string-pulling undercurrents that we do not fully understand, and certainly do not need to fully comprehend, which influence that sense of being lured in. I mention all of this because even if there is some effective lure which I have not articulated, your mind could still supply that temptation, could supply ever more adequate fantasies to make you think, well, maybe there's no harm in just submitting right now, in finding an opportunity to submit. After all, it'll make that heady, glorious dose of arousal run through my body. Let's discuss that. I've previously mentioned orgasm as the pinnacle of your submissive moment, that time when your body drains of its tension, of its pressure, and becomes calm, soothed, relaxed, at peace. That moment is very important. When you are experiencing your ordinary sexuality, at times when it is not desirous or appropriate to enter that state of paroxysmic bliss, at those times, it's beneficial to you to be able to explore your sexuality as long as possible before finally achieving the crest of that hill up which you are pleasurably toiling. Indeed, often the genitals are far too sensitive after climax to keep touching and exploring in the same ways. And although that sensitivity may be enjoyable too, and maybe in times of non-submissive but still aroused and pleasured experience, maybe you will wish to explore both sides of that coin. And the best way to improve your understanding of that is to understand the little logical gap. Ordinarily, if you touch yourself too much, if you stimulate too strongly, you'll be pushed over the edge whether you want to or not. Quite inefficient. But because you feel pleasure at that moment, your mind has already created a link where you wouldn't really want to put it off. The so-called point of no return, the reason that edging can be so difficult, for example. But in the case of our little exercise as articulated here, you understand better now that despite how good it feels to come, exploring your own sexual desires, your own sensations and needs, in both a submissive context and a non-submissive context, is perhaps even more pleasurable. It causes even more stress to leach from you. So what your subconscious mind thought was the most attractive option, namely making you come once you get past a certain point, is less attractive than a policy of deferment, of waiting. Waiting in such a way. Well, when we think of our orgasms, we understand there's a physical component, but there's also a mental component. And that mental component requires you to be not only in the mood to maintain your arousal, but ready to crest the edge. And because the pleasure of orgasm, the relaxation created by it, the sensations and de-stressing maneuvers of undergoing those spasms and the relaxation after, because these things are so attractive to our subconscious minds, we would ordinarily go right over the edge. But I propose there are good reasons to alter this, both when you're experiencing your everyday sensual, aroused desires, and when undergoing the spike in arousal which accompanies submission. Being able to explore your desires better would be a result of being delayed in your orgasm, so that if you were very close to the edge, you would nonetheless manage to prevent your own going over until such time as you were ready. At which point you could enthusiastically indulge in the aching, spasming pleasure. So when you are engaged in ordinary sexual desire and arousal, when you are doing things other than exploring submission, your orgasm will delay. Simple. Because that would be the most pleasurable option. Because that will open new doors for the exploration of your sexuality and desire and arousal. But also, because the arousal which accompanies submission, which reminds you and makes the memory very vivid in your mind, will be all the more powerful if it is different compared to the way your arousal and orgasms feel when you are doing things other than submitting. So we have those two zones, the ordinary everyday where, even though you would normally orgasm, you will hold back, both because it will be more pleasurable to explore edging and waiting and all of those wonderful things, and both your conscious mind and subconscious mind know that there are times when it is most pleasurable to delay, to only come when you think to yourself, yes, now is when I will go over the edge. And at times when you are engaged in things other than submission, this is normal, good, beneficial, pleasurable, and so your orgasm will wait. Until you deliberately go over the edge, the act of orgasming will be quite impossible, no matter how you tease, how you torment, how you push toward the edge. Perhaps some little thing will be missing. Perhaps you'll find the mental process doesn't quite align. But you'll find the reality to be as we have agreed. Beneficial, enjoyable, and very different. Now, speaking of different, submission does arouse. It does titillate. But one of those wonderful things we can do to push programming a little deeper and help you to modify certain wonderful aspects of your desire and behavior, sensations, arousal, and orgasm, is to create a very strong memory, an anchor of some experience, a devised scenario. So, when you are aroused and deep and desiring to submit, perhaps you are with someone to whom you wish to submit. Perhaps you are merely engaging in a private game of submission. Perhaps you are online and submitting through that venue. Maybe there's someone right next to you with their hand on the back of your neck, purring lustily into your ear. Whatever the circumstances, you will know the times when it is appropriate to submit. It's fairly reasonable and easy for you to set those terms, think of them, fantasize about the right times. But we know submission arouses you. We know trance arouses you. Allow yourself to envision being tranced, aroused, ready to submit. This is a safe, private place by definition. You're listening to me. If you're trancing, I should hope that you're somewhere peaceful, free of interruptions, where it is plausible for you to listen to me and allow me to guide you through a process in which one changes themselves, through an act that is very like submitting in and of itself. And maybe the physiological effects of trance, the deepening of breathing, the pleasure that permeates your body, are very like the arousal that you will feel, experience, and learn more about every time you submit. From this moment onward, you will be given the opportunity to learn just how aroused you can become, and how that arousal is so pleasurable that you just wish to bathe in it, to relax in it, like you do when you induce trance, when you allow another to guide you. Same idea, and just like when you experience trance, you understand safety and rapport and arousal and attraction before you begin. You've pre-cleared your mind to go on autopilot, to do what it's asked to do, to relax in the sensations of what it is being asked to do. And those sensations grow more potent, more all-encompassing. They engulf body, mind, and they train you. Just like most hypnosis, they train you to desire a particular outcome, to learn about that outcome, to map it on your senses, anchor it in your brain. Whenever you are submitting the arousal that we've mentioned being controlled normally, will intensify, and that intensification will grow and grow. And that orgasm we mentioned controlling before, envision it bubbling just beneath the surface, waiting. But rather than coming at the exact right moment, it will still come at the right moment, but not a moment chosen by you. Instead, I propose, and I believe you will accept, that for your mind to enjoy the orgasm completely and the arousal that comes with it, you should give in and allow another to choose the time, even though the orgasm, the climax, the spasming of your body, clenching of your buttocks, deepening of your breath, arching of your neck and back as you vocalize something powerful, primal, achy, and wonderful from inside you, even though all of that comes from you, the instruction will come from another. Just like when you are doing something other than submitting, your orgasm will only come at the right moment. And it will not come if you merely stroke. And it will not come if a partner merely strokes, whether you are submitting or not. If someone touches, whether you are submitting or not. No amount of touching outside of the right moment will bring that orgasm. But because you enjoy and understand submission, because you desire the opportunity to submit, you know that the right moment when you are in subspace is the moment they choose. And the awareness that another can choose the moment at which your body will arch, spasm, and come irresistibly, perhaps assisted by your hands, eager to aid in the act of submission. Well, knowing that that moment is in another's hands is arousing. So arousing that it ties in to what you think of submitting, to what you think of submission, to what you think of subspace. Imagine another ordering, "Come now," authoritatively, enthusiastically, so that you know that if you work your hardest to come at that exact moment, you'll bring them so much pleasure, and yourself. That would be desirable. It would form an anchored memory in your mind, I should think, tying the pleasure, the arousal, which is much greater than ordinary arousal because you are allowing another to set the tone. And that act of allowing another that control feeds your fetishes, your kinks, your desires, and that fuel grows greater and greater. And like any fetish, like any kink, like any desire, the desire to submit will creep into your everyday. It must already if you're yearning so heartily for it. But instead of just being the usual, it might be nice to try submitting to a partner, try submitting to an imagined figure, to explore submission, that might be nice. It instead becomes a heady, pulsing need inside of you. Because you can only experience that unique arousal, that sudden permission to come followed by the authoritative need and the dripping, constant heat inside of you that tells you yes, yes, more. That feeling lurks in you because you're getting the opportunity to let another take the reins, to let another flip the switch on your fantasy, to let another engage subspace. The presence of that agency to which you will submit makes it more tempting, and it plants a call deep inside you, a seed that says, if you return, you will gain more and more skill at submitting, more and more knowledge of what outlets for your desire are the most pleasurable submission, more and more rapport with your partner, with your object of desire, or with yourself, depending. all of those things together. And so, ordinarily, your orgasm will come at the right moment, the moment you choose. But the act of submitting is the act of choosing that moment and then giving it to someone else, allowing them to dictate the terms. And that act of giving begins a cycle of submission, which arouses you, knowing every moment that they could flip the switch, tell you that now is when you must push yourself into that memorable, memory-forming, anchoring spasm of delight, which will only fuel more arousal. And as you become more aroused, maybe you'll find opportunities to submit, opportunities to want to submit, more and more pleasurably habit-forming, in a way that forms a beneficial habit, one you want to have, one that helps you, one that turns you on like you wouldn't believe, because the moment you hand those reins over to another and tell them that you're submitting to them, or show them through your actions, that's the moment it becomes impossible to push yourself over the edge. It becomes impossible, save with their authorization, to identify the proper moment. And when that moment is identified, that's such a pure, wonderful feeling that it will be memorable, that it will be anchored, that it will draw you trance-like back to those circumstances, to trusted partners, to the right moments, to your own fantasies, to a desire to submit and come to submit. Submit.